Welcome back, everyone. Today is Thursday, May the 11th. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
And you're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abhinan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. If you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text at 252-582-5028, or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right. You guys can help us keep the conversation going by supporting the show, sharing it online, leaving us a good review on iTunes or Spotify, where you get your podcasting content from. We're going to leave a link in the description of this podcast so you can do just that. But before anything else happens, I want us to read the verse of the day.
Verse of the day.
Yeah, this is the verse of the day. And I'm just now seeing that I forgot to put the reference
in. I was
there.
Trying to stall as
very
I looked
smooth,
up the reference.
My friend,
it is Romans chapter 10, verse 15.
That's exactly it, because I remember
Romans
looking
10,
it up.
Verse 15.
I just didn't write it.
I was going to go back and forth banter with you a little bit about a verse of the day jingle as I was furiously looking up this reference. I knew it was Romans, but I couldn't remember exactly.
We sing the new improvised verse of the day song.
Verse of the day. Hey, hey, hey.
Hey, hey, hey.
All right. So this is Romans chapter 10, verse 15. And it says, "And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things."
Yeah. And you know, that's the thing, is that people with beautiful feet, as Romans puts it, they're either sending folks or they're going themselves. And that's what we're called to do, is share this good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. So the question is this: do you have beautiful feet or do you have ugly feet?
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Mm.
You've seen those people with feet where it looks like the Lamasil monsters is crawling out trying
Yikes.
To get out. I don't want to be that type of Christian. I don't want to be an ugly foot
Tough
Christian.
Acting tenactin.
Tough acting tenactin. I'm John Madden with Tough Acting Tenactin. Rest in peace.
I love that analogy, though. Like, if your feet are not directly contributing to the gospel getting out,
That's
whether
right.
they're going or whether they're sending, because you know, not all of us are going to go run out and evangelize, and not all of us are going to hop on a plane and go somewhere, mm-hmm. or even just go down the street and evangelize. Mm-hmm. We need to either be going or we need to be contributing to those that are going.
That's right.
We are all engaged in this process of sending the gospel to the nations.
You know, speaking of feet, it's actually kind of perfect, because we had a question come in this morning. I was seeing it this morning as I was driving here, regarding smells, and I thought feet smells. Yeah, this is a good one to do this question. Gina H wrote into the show and wants to know, what's the strangest smell that you love?
I feel targeted that you used that.
Why?
That segue.
Because of your feet?
One of the strangest smells that I love is the smell of my kids' feet.
When Ryan
they,
Hill,
hold on, when they were little. When they were itty bitty.
David just loved it.
I love the smell of my kids, not just kids, my kids' feet.
David.
Five years old and down.
Put the camera on David.
I know it's gross.
That's really
it's gross.
It's not gross. It's just
disturbing.
Odd.
I know.
That's just
I
odd
know it
behavior.
Is. I know.
David,
I know. It is odd. It's very weird. I'll be the first to admit.
Typically, Ryan, if people say something like, "What's your strangest smell that you like?" you just give a answer like, gasoline, fresh cut grass, you know, something like that. You're like, my children's feet from ages 5 down.
Yep.
Do you want to explain?
Strangest. We said strange. That is the strangest.
No, you're right.
That's the strangest.
I just wasn't expecting that. That really caught me off guard.
Those like that little baby feet smell where they start to. They're feet, so they smell like feet, but they're still.
What
little
does
kids.
It even
they
smell like?
Just like kid feet.
Like a baby's head. I get.
Yeah.
Because people say that like, oh, I love to sniff a baby's head.
Yeah,
that's the first thing. Both my sons were born. We brought them to church, and people were like, oh, do you mind if I just. Just right on the head. I was like, oh, his head. No, why you sniff his head? They're like, oh, yeah.
Just that baby
smell.
Oh,
a baby's foot. But I've never seen someone pick up a baby's foot and go.
It's not any baby. It's not any baby.
Just your baby.
Just my baby.
What did this, try to describe the smell.
It's like, I don't know. It smells kind of sweet.
Okay.
Kind of sweet smelling.
Like after a bath or just right after?
Just
the baby's
anytime.
Feet. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like I'll sniff Asher's feet. He's 4. I'll sniff
to this
his
day
feet.
You will?
And they stink sometimes.
Uh-huh.
But to me, they still smell good.
I got to regroup after this.
Sorry.
I
know that's a weird answer, and
yeah,
I know I'm going to get a lot of flack for it. But
that's what Gina asked.
I mean, that's my honest answer. The strangest smell that I love is my kids' feet when they are 5 years old and younger, and that's been true for all 5 of my kids.
I was thinking on the way here this morning, like how I could make liking gasoline compelling. I don't think there's any way to follow that.
No, I'm sorry,
I can't follow someone who likes the smell of the baby's
Something
feet.
Happens at five, though. I don't know what it is, but their feet start smelling like grown kid feet,
uh-huh.
and they start to like really stink. I'm like, okay, all right, we're done now.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
like 4 years old and down, they still smell kind of like little baby feet. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. it just smells good to me.
I got
my,
you.
For my kids, for my own, my biological children.
Maybe it's more common than I'm giving it credit for. Why don't you guys write in? Why don't you guys write into the show and let us know? Do you like the smell of your baby's feet? Probably not.
Probably not.
You might not.
I'm probably alone in that. But
Gina, that's the answer. He likes the smell of his baby's feet. I really love gasoline, but we're going to ask Dr. Shaw at the end of the episode because I have a feeling his will hopefully be a little bit more tame than his baby's feet. Maybe he likes his baby's feet. I don't know. Shoot.
Stay tuned. We'll figure out.
His kids are all like in their like late teens and in 20s, but
maybe he still sniffs Nicholas's feet. I don't know.
Could be.
I don't know. That seems a little troubling to me.
Well.
Write in and let us know, 252-582-5028. If you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, we'd love to hear those as well. Or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. We'll be back after this.
Good morning, afternoon, evening, Clearview Today listeners. My name is John.
And I'm David.
And we just want to take a quick second and let you know about another way that you can keep in touch with Dr. Shah's work. And that is his weekly podcast series, Sermons by Abadan Shah, PhD.
As a lot of you may know, or maybe some of you don't know.
If you don't know, you do now.
And if you don't know, then maybe just hop off the podcast.
David.
I'm just playing.
Hop off the podcast.
I'm just playing. Keep listening. Dr. Shah is actually the lead pastor of Clearview Church in North Carolina. Every single weekend, he preaches expository messages that challenge and inspire us to live God-honoring lives.
Well, one of the four core values of Clearview Church is that we're a Bible-believing church. So every sermon is coming directly from Scripture, which is great because that guarantees that there are timeless truths that are constantly applicable to our lives.
This is a great resource because whether you're driving, whether you're cleaning the house, whether you're working out, you can always benefit from hearing the Word of God spoken into your life. And God's Word is always going to do something new for you every time you hear it. Sometimes it's conviction, and sometimes it's encouragement. But know that every time you listen to God's Word, you're inviting the Holy Spirit to move and work in your life.
You guys can check out the Sermons by Abadan Shah, PhD podcast. First and foremost, check it out on our church app. That's the Clearview app. You can get that in the Google Play Store. You can get that on iTunes. But you can also find the podcast on the Apple Podcast app or on our website at clearviewbc.org. And listen, if you've got a little extra time on your hands, you just want to do some further reading, you can also read the transcripts of those sermons. Those are available on Dr. Shah's website, abadanshah.com. And we're going to leave you guys a little link in the description so you can follow it. But for right now, David, let's hop back in.
All right.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Or if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028.
That's right. If this is your first time ever visiting the show with us, we want to make you feel welcome, let you know who's talking to you today. Dr. Abadan Shah is a PhD in New Testament textual criticism, professor at Carolina University, author, full-time pastor, and the host of today's show. You can find all of his work on his website at abadanshah.com.
That's right. Dr. Shah, welcome back. I wish I could have like some sort of sound bite where it's like,
so
tumbleweed rolls across some kind of animation. Yeah.
My dad, I mentioned this on Tuesday, but my dad loved Westerns. And
really?
I have a vivid memory. I was telling Dr. Shaw this earlier when we were getting coffee. I have a vivid memory of like falling asleep on the couch while he would be like watching Westerns and like hearing that sound. Like you know that area of sleep where you're still kind of conscious and
uh-huh.
hear stuff? It would be like, wah, wah, wah. And it scared me that it just used to disturb.
Startled awake.
It's just such an unnerving sound, yeah. like to a little kid. And I remember that to this day. I would hear it in my room because he would watch Westerns on repeat. And I'd hear it in my room, like from my room. Wah, wah, wah. I'd be like, ugh, I don't like it. I can hear it today, but I definitely was scared.
Your eye starts twitching a little bit.
Yeah, I was scared of that as a kid, for sure.
Well, we're continuing this conversation. This has been a fun set of episodes.
Yes.
We talked about, you know, a couple of days ago, we talked about Westerns and the Old West, specifically, mm-hmm. kind of that nostalgic era. We talked about the Transcontinental Railroad and, you know, its effects on our nation and that time where we needed it so desperately for our nation to be unified. Mm-hmm. So today, we're just going to kind of continue that conversation. Dr. Shah, I know that the Old West is something that you love to talk about, that you're passionate about. So let's dig in a little bit more on that conversation and see, you know, what else is in the Old West for us to discover.
Well, if you really want to watch a movie, really a show that depicts the Old West like it is supposed to be, you have to do the one with Robert Duvall and Tommy Lee Jones. Anybody here know that which one I'm talking about?
I
don't.
It seems familiar.
Yeah, Lonesome Dove.
Oh, I've definitely heard Lonesome Dove.
Okay. Okay,
that was a TV show.
I didn't know the name.
Well,
of it.
Well, I mean, it was a show.
Okay. I knew. I can picture Tommy Lee Jones in like
the cowboy getup.
Yeah,
yeah. That is the most depressing show ever.
That's not the way I expected it to go.
It all goes downhill. It
just starts, everything that can go wrong does.
Yeah. Oh, no. Danny Glover's in that show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but it all sort of one by one they die. Horribly, some of them, but that I would say
it's a pretty good summary.
Pretty good summary, I still like it. I actually went and bought the whole series years ago.
Really?
Oh, wow.
On DVD. Yeah, I haven't watched it.
You gotta be in the right headspace because you know it's gonna.
I do that sometimes. Like I'll buy something. I'm like, no, I'm not emotionally ready for this.
I'm not prepared.
The only time I watch it is like when it's on TV now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I have to get myself ready. It's like, do I want to do this?
Yeah, it's such a downer. Like, I'm doing that kind of with Guardians 3 right now. Like, I saw the trailers, and I'm like, you know what? Yeah. I don't think I'm ready for this. I'm just going to chill.
It's like bitter medicine. You know that you need it.
I got to take
it. I don't want to. Yeah. I don't want to take it.
I'm gonna enjoy watching it, but I know it's going to be a gut punch in the soul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's probably close to reality how the Old West used to be.
That's also great storytelling when you can make people feel emotions like that. Yeah, that's really
good. And want to feel those emotions. Like, oh man, I really want to watch that show, even though I know it's going to be sort of depressing.
Yeah,
I really want to watch that show.
But it's kind of a great contrast to like Bonanza, where like you said, everything's kind of happy and cheerful,
bright,
like,
colorful.
He's real bright, colorful.
Most of the time, it's happy and cheerful. Many times, it ends up being that. The gal they really were in love with was turned out to be a rotten gambler.
Yeah, or like a smuggler's woman or something.
Yeah,
that's true.
Heartbreaking.
So there are sad moments in Bonanza. That's true.
Poor Hoss and just always getting his heart broken.
Yeah, I mean, come on, leave the man alone. He can't handle himself.
Hashtag leave Hoss alone.
Leave Hoss alone.
Yeah, he's in love. Yeah, y'all know these episodes that I'm referring to?
I don't know that Bonanza one. But no, I don't know.
I know Hoss was like the bigger son, right? There was three sons. It was right. Like Hoss was one. I can't remember the other two.
But I mean, it's hilarious at times, but at the same time, it's like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Poor Hoss.
Yeah, Hoss, man. They do Hoss wrong.
But if you want to watch like a real tough guy movie, then of course Tombstone it is.
Mm.
That's David's favorite movie, David, right now? I mean, would you say one of the Westerns that you really like?
Yeah, probably. Probably my favorite Western that I've seen, just because I very quickly fell in love with the character of Doc Holliday. Just being tough and just, I don't know what it was about him, but he wasn't afraid of anything. I think that's what it was. Like, I think he even says it in the movie. He's like, I'm not afraid to die. I'm not afraid to live. I just can't fight human instinct. I don't remember the exact quote, but I really liked him. And so Tombstone has quickly become my favorite. I've seen it probably 20 times in the past 2 years.
Yeah. Wow.
Who introduced you to Tombstone?
So that was somebody named Dr. Shah.
I love the setup there. Like, that was somebody that I met one time in my life named Dr. Shah.
That's right. Oh, look at this. Oh,
so John, you started talking about Tombstone. David, do you want to give the story behind this?
Yeah, that's fine. So just like we said,
yes,
I really like Tombstone, and Dr. Shah introduced me to Tombstone and Doc Holliday. So we went to Colorado on a staff retreat, and I got my first cowboy hat at the place where Doc Holliday died. So from then on, I was like, okay, I guess I'm taking on the mantle of Doc Holliday.
Well, just to let people know, he died in a hotel room, okay? So, and that hotel room, or that hotel sort of converted into a museum shop. Mm-hmm. And so you can go there and see Tombstone memorabilia, and that's where... David got his hat.
Yep.
That's a pretty cool place.
Oh, wait, you got your hat from the
yeah,
museum?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was in that place.
Yeah, he got it right
The brown
there.
One? Or the black?
The brown one.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I knew we got it in Arizona. I didn't know you got it at the museum.
Yeah, it was in Colorado. I got it from...
I mean, that's right.
I got it from the place where Doc Holliday died.
We all bought cowboy hats in Arizona, though.
Yeah,
we just bought, like...
That
cheap
was
ones.
Like fake.
You got a good one in Arizona. Nicholas got a really good one in Arizona.
Yeah.
But so, you bought your good brown one in Colorado.
David's good one came from Colorado.
That's right. You're right.
So I was like, okay, this, I've been introduced to Tombstone, Doc Holliday. I really like this. So in order to pay my respects to the OG, the one who has originally introduced me, I got...
It's called Doc Holliday.
Doc Holliday. I love that. That's hilarious.
By the way, here's a fun fact for you.
I'm ready.
Fun fact.
The director of the movie. I mean, you would expect somebody... I mean, he is down home country, Western.
Almost like John Wayne.
Can I say redneck? I mean, he just like, he is, no, he was a Greek Italian.
That I did know because you told me about that.
His name was George Cosmatos.
That sounds Greek.
Doesn't that sound like somebody who would make Tombstone?
That sounds like my people.
That does not sound like Tombstone.
Cosmatos, yeah.
Wow.
He's one of us.
He's the same guy who did Rambo, you know,
really?
The second movie. I think it's First Blood. And then Cobra, the Silver Stallone movies.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. So you see that style coming out. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, yeah, I'll show you, you know, kind of thing. Did the people in the West actually act that way? We don't know. Thanks to all the spaghetti Westerns. Mm-hmm. You know, it'd take a has some Italian.
I was going to ask you that. I'm not familiar with that term, spaghetti Western.
You never heard of that?
I've never heard of it.
Maybe I don't know why they call it.
Nicholas can enlighten us on that. Nicholas, tell us a little bit about the spaghetti Western.
What is the spaghetti Western?
They've 100%.
Tell us.
They're called spaghetti Westerns.
What are they about, Nicholas? You don't know?
Yes, you do.
Nicholas loves to watch these movies. He has a whole set of Clint Eastwood movies at home. Right, Nicholas? That's my son, by the way.
Yeah, he's looking like he doesn't want to get in the mic.
Which one were you watching recently?
The good, the bad, the ugly.
The good, the bad, the ugly.
That's the one.
That's it. It is.
What is the spaghetti? Where does the spaghetti come?
For some reason, Italian. Italian investors got really into the West.
Yep.
And they decided to capture that market.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of movies that were made in the 50s, 60s eras, I believe it is. Again, I may be getting my dates wrong, were actually done by them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And of course, you know, you can always say, like, they kind of made the West not the West. Maybe. But I think they did also do a great job capturing some of the things. So, of course, nobody's going to get it right unless you're like coming right from that place in a time machine.
Mm-hmm.
I think they did a great job.
Yeah. Well, if they hadn't, I mean, was anybody else doing it?
No. I mean, nothing like they did.
Yeah.
So they brought the West, the allure of the West back, you know, in some ways. So I think it's great.
Gotcha. Spaghetti Western. I learned that today. I've never heard that.
Yeah.
Definitely heard it, but I didn't know it was because they were produced by Italian people. I've always heard that they were called spaghetti Westerns, but I never questioned it.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Well, all you have to do is look at the credits when the movie ends.
Like, those don't sound like...
Those names are, a little suspect there.
A pattern here.
Yeah, you won't see Smith and Richardson and things like that. You'll find a lot of...
Antonucci's and Sopranos. And
yes, of course.
Corleones and stuff like that.
Yeah, names like that. You go, oh. But see, look at me. Mm-hmm. I'm not from here.
Mm-hmm.
Why do I like the West?
Mm.
So... I don't. Some people like make fun of those spaghetti Westerners, like, man, those guys just made money off that. No, I think they did some research and they studied it well, and they captured that the same sentiments that I'm capturing as an Indian from India. I love it. They loved it, and they made a big deal out of it. Mm-hmm. And today, some of those movies like Good, Bad, and Ugly, Fistful of Dollars, all these movies are so popular because it's like, wow, yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
I like the West.
Part of storytelling, I think, is finding those cultures that may not be your own, but you see the value in them and you see the themes that come through. Like we were talking about, I think we talked about on Tuesday, you know, there's lots of political commentary going on in a lot of these Westerns, and there's lots of social commentary talking about this is how life was.
Yeah.
And it may have been simple, but it had its own set of problems. And for a lot of people, this is how they lived.
Right.
And those stories are worth telling, not because you just want to look back and remember simpler times, but because that shaped these famous people into who they were. The circumstances, the things that they had to live with, the progress, like the railroads and technology that interrupted their lives.
Yeah.
Like, yes, it made the nation better, but it also affected these people in a real way. And that's kind of what these genres, you know, deal with.
Right? I mean, okay, I'm glad you brought that up because movies like High Noon came out in 1952. High Noon, a lot of presidents love this movie, like Eisenhower, Bill Clinton, you know, they all often talk about it. Ronald Reagan did as well. But initially, you know, this movie was sort of coming from an anti-McCarthyism point of view. Like, you know, all these people who were so courageous right now, they don't want to stand up against the scrutiny of the Red Scare. In that sense, I like High Noon and I don't. Because it almost makes people, it's the agenda is too strong.
For the view, for the listeners, do you want to just kind of briefly talk about McCarthyism, like what that means?
Yeah, I mean, it was just like hunting for, looking for those people who had communist tendencies and communist, you know, ideals.
So High Noon being anti-McCarthyism would have been pro-communist.
Because at that time, you know, there was a lot of spotlight being put on Hollywood because of some of the socialist, communist type tendencies coming out. And guess what? They were right.
Yeah.
Because it was happening in Hollywood. So, but anyways, so High Noon was sort of like a defense of, hey, stand up against these people trying to scare us.
That is very interesting to me that a Western was made in support of like communist ideals and sympathizers.
Yeah. It kind
of
feels like
when I see Gary Cooper, I don't see a communist.
These things don't seem to go together.
But it seems like kind of something that, that they would do. Like, we're going to have you support our side with the thing that you like.
Yeah.
Like, you like the Westerns.
Yeah, absolutely right.
Yeah. It then, seems like that kind of
stand
underhand.
Up against these people trying to prosecute us and question us. Oh, you're not. You're weak. So I'm going to be the last man standing. You know, which is another movie, by the way.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm going to be the one who's going to be the one who's going to hold my ground. But John Wayne didn't like it either. He's like, I don't like High Noon. It's a pathetic movie. Different words he used. So he made the movie The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance, which I think is better anyways.
Yeah.
Now, High Noon has its great moments too, but Man Who Shot Liberty Valance, I would prefer that. You know, the ideals in there are a little better.
Yeah.
If somebody is looking to, like, we talked a lot about Westerns and Old West, that kind of culture over the past couple episodes. If somebody has been listening, they're like, man, I really want to get into this. I really want to.
Yeah.
Like, where should they start? What's the best, like, jumping off point? What's
like a movie or a book or?
Anything. Any type of media, movie, book, show. Comic, what's the best place for them to kind of, I guess, get their feet wet?
I mean, I like the old shows. I still like The Rifleman, you know, you know, some of those shows. I think they watch Rawhide. It's an education.
Rawhide. Is that, oh man,
Rawhide.
Hold on. Yeah, Rollin, set up, Rollin, bring them in, rolling, bring them up, settle up. Rawhide.
Yeah.
I've got a vague, distant memory of that. I never watched Rawhide, but I think my dad did.
How about this?
Rolling.
Try Billy Crystal City Slickers. There you go. Yeah, I think it may be a good introduction. I'm not going to recommend everything in the movie, the time's language, so please forgive me for that. But it has some very good themes in there.
You think Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid is good for beginners, or you think that's kind of deep Western?
I think it's a good movie. I enjoyed it. Paul Newman, Robert Redford did a great job, but at the same time, that 60s, 70s, you know, persona also came through, which is what happens in movies.
Yeah.
Anytime you make a movie, you will reflect the culture.
That's true.
It can be a historical movie, but it still will reflect the culture.
Yeah.
So I think it's great, but I wouldn't recommend that as the first movie
watch. Beginner.
Yeah. But it's good.
Yeah.
You know, as we've been thinking about over the past few episodes, the Old West and movies and media that depict that kind of culture and nostalgia, are there any concepts illustrated in those movies or shows that maybe apply to our spiritual life?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, think about Jesus. I like to think of Jesus as in a Western theme, in a sense, because every morning he would get up and go away by himself to pray. You know, he liked that aloneness that he had, that time with his Heavenly Father. And so when you think about the Old West, I think about the simpler times. I think about the wide open spaces. I think about liberty, the freedom you have to do your own thing. Mm-hmm. And so I would say the most important do your own thing is get alone with God.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
And nature, of course, to me is you know, the just such a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. Teaches us about who God is, you know, and how much he cares for his creation. So those are some important themes that mm-hmm. we can still learn from.
I think also something that I think about Jesus when I'm thinking about the West is like the way he just kind of rolled into town and he mm-hmm. saw that there's,
yes.
you know, there's an established order of things.
Yes.
This is how we do things. And he comes in with differing values mm-hmm. and it creates this upset. I mean, that's very typical of a Western where the gunslinger rolls in and it's like, well, we don't do things like that around here. Well, guess what? I'm a one-man
army. You're not from around these parts.
Yeah. I'm not from around here. And he comes in, he kind of puts his values on the town and the town kind of sees, okay, this is a good way of doing things. We might need this guy to protect us.
Yeah.
I think so also with Jesus, like he comes in, he sees the established order of these religious leaders and he's like, this is not of God. I'm here to show you what's, and like any good story, there's conflict. They try to kill him and they try to get rid of him, but he can't be stopped.
Yeah.
That's right. I mean, and, you know, going back to the man who shot Liberty Valance, mm-hmm. you know, it's in a sense the battle between fascism and democracy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, these are townspeople who are trying to live and do exist and have a life. And here is Liberty Valance who is trying to take that away, intimidate people. Mm-hmm. I mean, isn't that where we are as a culture today in America? Mm-hmm.
Very much.
We are being intimidated by certain nations and agendas to do what they want us to do.
Mm-hmm.
So in a sense, I think not only going back to God and trusting in him and looking to him, but also going back to those values that made America what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying America is perfect. Far from that. There are a lot of things we need to work on, mm-hmm. but there are certain things that are still worth preserving, which is, hey, you coming against us, we're going to stand up together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we sort of lost that fighting spirit.
Yeah. I think we have. Mm-hmm. I think we are divided as a nation. We are, you know, afraid of so much, mm-hmm. so much fear. And the best of the people, and the people who claim to be believers, they operate with fear.
Yeah.
And some of my, you know, best people I know are full of fear. And I'm like, what are you so afraid of? I get it that you're afraid, but why? You have mm-hmm. God on your side.
Right. Yeah.
Don't be afraid. Step forward. And unless we do, we're going to stay in Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to leave the land of slavery. We're going to stay in Egypt.
That's
and we're going to, or even if we do, we're going to die in the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
We have to step forward, trusting God every step of the way, giving him glory every step of the way, and walking forward. Just like those spies went into the land, came mm-hmm. back, and were all scared. Like, no, I don't think so. But two of them said, I think we can take them. I mean, how much more Western can you get?
That's it.
Exactly.
That's it.
That spirit.
We can do it.
We can do it. They are like bread for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We can fight.
That's right.
And again, keep in mind, it's not we are who are fighting. It's God who's fighting in us,
That's
through
right.
us.
That's right.
So why not step forward?
I love that. Reclaiming that spirit of being willing to step forward, being willing to stand up and stand together against, you know, oppression, against intimidation. And I'm just going to throw this out there. I love the idea of like outlaw Jesus.
Yeah.
Like just that
Jesus
that
with
picture,
the cowboy hat and the
love
Spurs.
That. Yeah. Absolutely
That's right.
love that. there's something to be explored there.
That's right.
Well, thank you guys for listening in today. If you guys enjoyed today's episode or you have questions or suggestions for new episodes, let us know by sending us a text to 252-582-5028. If you try out some of these Westerns and you get a chance to watch those, write in and let us know what you think, which ones were your favorite and what you learned from them. You can also visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. You can partner with us financially on that same website. Every gift that you give goes not only to building up this radio show, but countless other ministries for the gospel of Jesus.
That's right.
We love you guys. We'll see you next time on Clearview Today.